It is good to gather this morning. Hopefully we have our minds and hearts set upon worshiping. And we appreciate the opportunity to spend some time in the Word of God. We've already done that some this morning in our Bible class and looked at some of the things that the Apostle Peter had to say there in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we even touched on some of the things I'm going to talk about in the lesson this morning, which, as Brother Bill and Brother John know, it's hard for me to talk about various things in Scripture without touching on other things. It tends to just happen because of the interconnected nature of Scripture. Because it's all from God. And we're to consider all of the Word of God. In particular, we're to consider the New Testament Scriptures, those things that were delivered after the sacrifice of Christ through the Holy Spirit as He was given to comfort and to guide the apostles into all truth. And we consider those things. And one of the things that we find throughout the epistles that are written is something that, as Brother Jimmy may mention in the reading this morning, the conflict between Jew and Gentile, the breakdown that they had because they couldn't get along together. But Paul in this passage tells them that what you're supposed to be doing is building one house. Building one place for God. You've been given the foundation. Now you need to be building upon that foundation. We want to go from there this morning and talk about the fact that we today are supposed to be building. We are to be building for the future. Now, there's a sense in which we're building for the future of here, of our children, of our grandchildren, our neighbors, our aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and all that. We're building so that they've got a good, solid foundation to work from as they grow up in the Lord. But I think we need to recognize that we're building for something beyond what's here. You know, we're not like the rich farmer who was all about building up bigger barns and everything to store all the things he had here upon the earth. We're to be like those that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 6. Excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 2 Timothy doesn't have a chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 18 and 19, when the instruction is given to those who are rich in this world's goods to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And while he doesn't specifically say you're building up for the future of eternity, I think the phrases and the language that he uses points us back to Jesus and his message in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 that we need to be building treasures in heaven, not on earth. The building that we are doing today, while there is a building of each of us working together to build one place for God, and we're using that, and we will build foundation for our descendants and those who may come, we need to make sure that overall, and most importantly, our focus is on building for heaven, building for eternity. Sometimes we get so caught up in doing what has to be done right here and now, or in taking care of the events and the things that are going on in our life at this point, even when we keep our focus on spiritual things in that, that we forget or we miss sometimes that we're to be focused on heaven. The things that we're building are building for eternity. So let's consider this morning some things about building for the future. And the first things that we want to consider is, in order for us to build, we've got to have a few things. I think it should be a common understanding that in order for us to build anything, we've got to have some wisdom. We've got to know a little bit about what we're building and a little bit about how to build it. The proverb writer in Proverbs 9 in verse 1 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out her seven pillars." Maybe a little clearer and more focused to what we're talking about this morning in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established." Now, I recognize that probably the writer of Proverbs is making maybe a little more practical application there. Because remember, these are wisdoms given to the son of Solomon for doing the things he was going to have to do as he took over. But that applies spiritually as well. We can't build God's spiritual house if we don't have wisdom. Wisdom comes from knowledge. As we've studied in the past, wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Wisdom is, roughly put, the ability to use the knowledge you have in the right way. We need to have wisdom. That means we have to have knowledge, certainly. And I guess that takes us to the fact that we need some kind of plan to build from. Now, I've gone out there in the shop before and said, "Hey, I want to build a box." And I just started cutting things out. And my wife says, "How do you know what you're doing?" I said, "Well, I've got a plan. I've got a picture of it in my head. Sometimes it's not the clearest picture." But we have to have some sort of method and plan in place in order for us to build. And we've been given that plan. We've been told exactly what we need to do. And we need to execute the plan. Remember, Paul told these brethren in Ephesus that the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And remember the context that's in this particular area of this letter and elsewhere in Scripture, God's given us what we need in order to build. We'll touch on this as we touch on some of the other things, but God has instructed us in how to build. Now, when we have some wisdom about building, because we have a plan for building, we have the understanding and the knowledge, one of the things we may need to recognize is that before we can build, we have to tear down. That's what happened to Gideon. Before he could go about doing what he needed to do in order to bring the Israelites out from under the oppression of the Midianites, God said, first thing you do is you go down and tear down the old idols, and you use that to build a new altar, and you offer on that altar the sacrifice to me. Before he could put up an altar to God, Gideon had to tear down the old altar that they had been using. And we need to recognize before we can, and this is where wisdom comes in, before we can follow God's plan, we've got to make sure that everything's cleared out that's not in accordance with God's plan. You know, I don't know all the process that the Simpsons went through in building their new house, but I suspect they had to do a little clearing and getting things out of the way before they could put that house where they wanted it to be. Just like any other house that's built. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do, whether we're talking about building ourselves or building others, is getting rid of that which is in the way, so that we can build that which God has designed for us to build. Whether we're talking about strengthening and encouraging self or others, or even in building up the church, we need to look and make sure that there's nothing there that needs to be torn down before we start building. Because you can't add good onto bad and expect the good to stand. I guess we could go to the illustrations that Jesus used of putting new material, new wineskins, patching old wineskins with new pieces of wineskin. It doesn't work. We need to recognize sometimes we have to tear down. Paul told the Galatian brethren, "If I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor." And I think that's very fitting considering the context of where our text comes from this morning, where Paul's telling the Ephesian brethren, you're supposed to be working together. Paul spent a lot of time tearing down those who were focused on Judaism, tearing down their arguments and their focus and their requirements to go back to the old law. And he said, if I go back and rebuild those things, I become a destroyer. I don't need to do that. I need to keep myself focused on doing that which is right. And that means that I need to make sure that I get rid of the old. part of having a plan includes having a foundation. Anything that we build that we want to last, we have to have some sort of foundation for it to sit upon, something for it to be based on. Even when you just build a simple box, you got to have something for it to sit on. It may just be the bottom of the box, but it's got a foundation, and that foundation has to do with what that thing is going to look like. And our foundation is from God. I sometimes think that people develop the idea that we're building a foundation upon which for others to build. And there is a sense in which we are building and others build upon. But the foundation that we're building upon came from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds upon it. But now look again at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. The foundation of the apostles and prophets was given to us by God. We don't build the foundation. We build on the foundation according to the plan that God has given us. That means that whatever we build needs to be within the boundaries of that foundation that's been laid. Recognizing, acknowledging, and understanding the need for a foundation for our building should impress upon us the need for finding authority, approval from God for whatever we do. Any strengthening, any encouragement that we might offer, whether to ourselves or to our brethren, needs to be within the bounds of that foundation. Y'all just had a house built, so I'm going to pick one a little bit. Jonathan went and looked at that house. I bet he got pretty upset if he looked over in the wall of the garage. It was about 6 foot off of the foundation they had set for it. He got kind of worried. Fellas, that ain't where you're supposed to be building. You're supposed to build over here. So it's important that we recognize the foundation when we're building. And that foundation was given by God through the apostles and the prophets, through the inspired men of the first century, the men who wrote the Gospels and the epistles and the history that we have contained in Matthew through Revelation. We cannot build outside of that and be building God's house. Of course, we need materials and tools in order to build. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 uses the idea of building with gold and silver, precious stones, wood and hay and straw. And we recognize some of those are going to be more stable and more permanent than others, thereby showing that there's various developments of ability to build. Maybe the idea of tools and materials in light of what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, gets across the idea a little better. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The material that we have to build with is God's Word, once again. Starting from that foundation and building up with the things that have been taught therein. And we need to be diligent in being workmen with that material. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14, "For we're not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. We were the first to come, even as far as you in the gospel of Christ." Paul said, "I'm one of those that went out there first." And he wasn't bragging. He was emphasizing that they ought to be listening to him. He considered himself a workman. Elsewhere he speaks of himself as a fellow worker. He encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 to be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And that takes us all the way back to the wisdom and the plan. The workman needs to know how to use the materials that he's been given in order to build the house of God. We need to recognize that we are builders.
And while maybe not specifically the one of the points I wanted to get across, it occurs to me that we need to recognize we are all building together for the same cause, no matter where we came from. There's a lot of friction in our world today among various ones. There's friction between men and women. There's friction between immigrants and natives. You can call us natives. Friction between the races. There's friction between ideologies. But we need to understand, just like Paul was telling the Ephesian brethren here, no matter who you used to be, when you become a Christian, you're all the same. Same race, same nation, ought to have the same focus and the same goals. You have the same Father. You have the same plan and foundation upon which to build, working together. I know from time to time, because the various ways we are scattered in our communities, we may end up with a doctors and lawyers church and an automobile mechanic and fast food workers church. We may end up with an Asian church and a Chinese church. But let us never forget that we're all one church. We're all building the same building for God. We work together as separate individual congregations. We have some responsibilities, and we are certainly separate and autonomous. But we need to be working together, building the building that God has given us to build, a place for God in our hearts. We're building for the future. We're building the church. We're building individuals. We're building ourselves now so that we can be in heaven when this life is over. That's what it's all about. Jude, verse 19 and 20, these are the ones who cause division, worldly minded, devoid of spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. And I guess I could go to the passage we talked about in Bible class this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1. Because of the precious promises that you have, now build upon that in yourself. Because if you're building and developing these things within you, you won't fail. We need to build up strong defenses within ourselves. We talked about the idea of self-control, but also the idea of perseverance, of steadfastness. I use the term stick-to-itiveness, staying in place no matter what. That's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 6 when he says, put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand. And then, stand. We need to build some strong defenses, and we build them out of those materials, the Word of God that we've been given. We build it upon the foundation that God has given us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he told the Corinthian brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Build strong defenses so we can stand against the difficulties that come upon us. Most all of the cities that have been discovered through archaeology over the ages were surrounded by a wall. That wall was a wall of defense. It was to protect the people inside from the people that were outside. We need to build a wall of defense out of the Word of God, whether it be a personal wall, as is represented in armor, or a wall around us as brethren. We need to build good, strong defenses We also need to have strong offense. We need to be active in promoting the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation, Paul continues there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. And you know, Paul continues there, pray that I can be active in speaking the word. We're not always on the defense. We need to build up a strong offense. That's what the Hebrew writer is talking about when he rebukes the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5, when he says, you ought to now be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you, because you've not built an offense. You haven't exercised yourself and strengthened yourself so that you can use the word to teach others. Folks, there is no way that we can build up the local congregation, that we can build up our brethren, if we're not in some manner active in trying to teach. Example, personal studies, encouragement. There are many, many ways in which we may be able to do that. Our Bible classes, we encourage and strengthen one another with them, but hey, not everybody is able or has the qualities necessary to participate in that to the extent that maybe they would like to. But personal encouragement and opportunities. A little private advice from time to time regarding struggles that we see our brethren having. We can build up, but we can't do that if we're not on the offensive, if we're not actively out there trying. Yes, we need to have a strong defense so that we can stand up against the fiery arrows of Satan, to use the imagery of Paul. But we also need to be actively out there fighting, using that wisdom and the plan that we've been given, the knowledge that we have through the Word of God, to build others up, not just our brethren, but also those outside, the world around us. We need to build up our character. That's, of all the things we could talk about what Peter's talking about there in verse 5 through 7 of 2 Peter chapter 1, that probably stands out. We're building up our character. To do that, we need to be focused on the right things. Of Luke chapter 10 and verse 42, some of you may recognize that's where Jesus was at the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha was busy fixing supper, and Mary was listening to Jesus. And Martha said, Jesus, tell her to come help me. And he said, no, she's chosen that good part, and I won't take it away from her. She had her focus. We develop a good character by spending time with the Word of God and learning more about Christ, as we talked about in Bible class this morning. Those things that we're to increase in are a result of our studying and applying the Word of God in our own individual lives. That causes us to conduct ourselves in a manner that we're doing good deeds, whether that means teaching the Word or assisting those that are in need. As opportunity arises, as individuals, we see our neighbor that needs some help or needs some assistance, or a brother or sister that's in need, and we step up to help them, and in doing so, we're laying up treasures in heaven, as Paul talks about those rich in this world's goods in 1 Timothy chapter 6. A good character that allows us to stand in the face of difficulty. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he writes that letter in Revelation. We read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death. We need to build ourselves up. so that we can stand.
No matter what may come upon us, no matter what the world may throw at us, we still stand firm in the Word of God because we're rooted and grounded in that foundation, in the wisdom that we've gained from that, and we ourselves are able to grow and to increase
because we cannot encourage others, we can't teach others, if we ourselves are not being built up.
We don't send kindergartners to teach 2-year-olds.
We don't send high school teachers or high school students to teach trigonometry in college. You got to know it yourself before you teach it to somebody else.
I recognize there's various levels of knowing that are necessary in order to teach various levels of things. But we got to take care of self and build ourselves up so we can go out and build others up, because we have a responsibility to build up one another.
Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing, Paul told the Thessalonian brethren.
We do that through our example, as well as through actively teaching the Word of God. In fact, probably one of the most common ways that we teach others is by how we live ourselves. That's why it's so important that we're built up and able to stand in these ways, and that we have wisdom to know how to apply those things. Paul, in the Corinthian letter, kind of talks about that kind of in a negative way in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 10. If someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? And Paul is not saying that if your brother sees that it's okay for you to eat meat offered to idols, then he's going to be strong enough that he'll think it's okay for him to do it. No. He's going to commit sin doing something that he thinks is wrong because he sees you engaging it. Yet he's not yet come to the same understanding you have.
Now, we don't have a lot of problem with eating meats offered to idols today, do we? In fact, I suspect most of us would be hard-pressed to find any meat that we could verify for certain was offered to an idol in our communities. There may be some, but we'd probably have to look for it.
But there are a lot of ways that if we're not careful with our example, we can lead people into doing something that they believe is wrong. So that's why I say we need to use wisdom in our example. We need to be built up and know the things that we need to know. And then we need to be careful how we exercise ourselves in those things, so that we don't cause our brother to stumble, because we want to build them up, not tear them down.
And in building up ourselves and building up one another, we build up the church.
Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 4 and verse 12, for equipping the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want us to notice that in all three of those instances, the writer is talking about building up individuals in order to build up the church. We talk about the need to build up the church, and let's remember that building up the church is building up us. You and me. And as we are built, the church is built and grows and increases. As we are strengthened, the church is strengthened. As we increase, the church increases, because the church is the brethren. There's not a separate process for building up the church away from building up one another. It's one and the same. If we want the church to grow, we need ourselves to grow. We need to help our brethren to grow. That's what we're building. And once again, while there is a sense in which we are building that as a future for future generations, remember, our goal in this is building for heaven. Will those who come behind us benefit from the building that we've done, from the teaching that we do, from the encouragement and the strength and the examples that we have before them because we've strengthened and encouraged ourselves? Yes, they will. For the most part. But that's not the main reason we're doing this. We're building the church because we want to be with God for all eternity. We're building it as a house for God. We're building for the future. And that's why we can only build through Christ. There's a lot of ideas out there about how we can become stronger Christians, or we can be a bigger congregation, grow and increase. But they're from men and not from Christ. In fact, I was listening to a preacher this morning, actually a lesson I probably heard about 10 years or so ago. Yeah, my life is maybe further back than that. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's right, we've been here 6 years. So, anyway, he was saying there's a lot of folks out there that decide, hey, we're going to grow our church because we're going to add a building off here on the side, and we're going to have entertainment, we're going to have a basketball court out there, we'll have a kitchen and a dining room, and you're almost guaranteed to double your number in just a matter of a couple of months if you let people know you got that. But where did that idea come from? Well, it came from the minds of men, not from the Word of God. We're built through Christ. He's the one. God's the foundation. The Word is the plan. We build through Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, Paul told the Colossian brethren in chapter 2. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. We build through Christ. We build with God. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Psalm 127 and verse 1. All of our building has to be through Christ, through God. We have to work in armor. Those defenses that we have to build, we need to recognize that those are built to protect us while we go about building ourselves more and others. I'm reminded of some of the lessons Brother John gave us about Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. They worked with their swords by their sides. In fact, I think there's one verse that said they had a sword in one hand and a tool in the other hand. Why? Because they needed protection. They needed to be surrounded. That's why Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We've got to have our defenses in place and use them while we're building. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. John, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, I've written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil. When we build with God, surrounding us by His Word, and we build through righteousness and faithfulness. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous.
just as he is righteous. We can never let our guard down. We're constantly needing to be focused on God and his word and conducting ourselves in a right manner. We can't slack off because we're busy building over here and not keep ourselves strengthened. And as we made mention in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we need to remain faithful throughout all our time here upon this earth. We build through or with God and Christ and the Word, keeping us righteous and faithful and focused on our goal. God has given us everything that we need in order to build. And we need to be diligent in that building. Building up ourselves, building up our brethren, and thereby building up the church. And in doing so, we will influence those around us, and we will have opportunity to build them up as well. We need to be active in these things. It's not all about protecting myself from Satan. We also need to recognize the need to get out there and be busy and doing the work that must be done. Change to a different analogy. If a football team wants to win the game, they can't just depend on good defense. They've got to have a pretty good offense as well. Because it's not about keeping the other folks from scoring. They have to score too. We need to be active, building, strengthening one another, reaching out with the Word of God while defending ourselves against Satan. Look in your own life this morning. Are you one who can be said is building up yourself, your brethren, in the cause of the Lord? If not, you are at the very best not complete in what God would have you do. Really think the Scripture tells us that we're not building up, we're tearing down. Look at your life. Are you serving the Lord diligently? Are you strengthening and encouraging yourself and thereby able to reach out and strengthen and encourage the brethren and build up the church? Not for the here and now, but so that we can all persevere through the here and now and be with God when this life is over. You want assurance that you can be with God? Then be diligent in doing His will. Strengthen and encourage yourself and brother. Teaching His will. You look this morning and find that you are not completing those things, that you failed the Lord in some way. Maybe there's other areas in your life where you've fallen short and you've left a bad example. You need to correct that. We ask that you go to God in prayer and ask Him for forgiveness. If it's of a public nature and others know that you're wrong and you need to correct it publicly, opportunity is yours. No matter what your situation is, your brother can assist you in getting closer to heaven by coming back to God and get rid of your sin. Here's to come and let your desire be known. Stand in the